Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam namaskritya.
Naram chaiva narottamam.
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jaya Mudiraye. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13, Dhritarashtra Quits Home. And the texts are 12 and 13, and 12 doesn't have a purport, so I'm going to read the verse out loud, and then you can repeat, and then we'll go on to 13. It yukto dharma rajina. Sarvam tat samavarnayat.
Sarvam tat samavarnayat.
Yatanubhutam kramasho.
Yatanubhutam kramasho.
Vinayadu kalashayam.
Vinayadu kalashayam.
Translation. Thus being questioned by Maharaj Yudhishthir, Mahatma Vidura gradually described everything he had personally experienced, except news of the annihilation of the Yadu dynasty. Text 13. Na navyapriyam durvishaham.
Na navyapriyam durvishaham.
Nrinam swayam upastitam.
Nrinam swayam upastitam.
Navedayat sakaruno.
Navedayat sakaruno.
Dukitan drashtum akshamaha. Nanvapriyam
durvishaham.
Nrinam swayam upastitam. Nane vad nane navedhayat sankaruno.
Navedayat sakaruno.
Navedayat sakaruno.
Navedayat sakaruno.
Dukitan drashtum akshamaha. Let's have a few chanters.
Nanva priyam durvishaham.
Nanva priyam durvishaham.
Nrinam swayam upastitam.
Nrinam swayam
upastitam.
Nave dayat sakaruno.
Nave dayat sakaruno.
Dukitan drashtum akshama.
Dukitan drashtum akshamaha. Namba priyam durvishaham.
Nrinam swayam upastitam.
Nrinam swayam upastitam.
Nave dayat sakaruno.
Nave dayat sakaruno.
Dukhitan drashtum akshamaha.
Dukhitan drashtum
akshamaha.
Yashoda.
Namba priyam durvishaham.
Namba priyam durvishaham.
Nrinam swayam upastitam.
Nrinam swayam upastitam. Navedayat sakaruno. Dukitam drashtum akshamaha. Nava priyam durvishaham. Nrinam swayam upastitam. Navedayat sakaruno. Tukitan drashtum akshamaha.
Nanva apriyam durvishaham.
Nanva apriyam durvishaham.
Nrinam swayam upastitam.
Nrinam swayam upastitam.
Navedayat sakaruno.
Navedayat sakaruno.
Dukitan drashtum akshamaha.
Tukitan drashtum akshamaha. Nanva priyam durvishaham.
Nirnam swayam upastitam.
Rinam swayam upastitam.
Navedayat sakaruno.
Navedayat sakaruno.
Dukitan drashtum akshamaha.
Dukitan drashtum akshamaha. Nanu. As a matter of fact.
Apriyam.
unpalatable. Durvishaham, unbearable. Nrinam, of humankind. Swayam, in its own way. Upastitam, appearance. Na, did not. Avedayat, expressed. Sakaruna, compassionate. Dukitan, distressed. Drashtum, to see. Akshamaha, unable. Translation. Compassionate Mahatma Vidura could not stand to see the Pandavas distressed at any time. Therefore, he did not disclose this unpalatable and unbearable incident because calamities come of their own accord. All say, please repeat. Compassionate Mahatma Vidura could not stand to see the Pandavas distressed at any time. Therefore, he did not disclose this unpalatable and undesirable incident. Because calamities come of their own accord. Purport. According to Niti Shastra, civic laws, one should not speak an unpalatable truth to cause distress to others. Distress comes upon us in its own way by the laws of nature, so one should not aggravate it by propaganda. For a compassionate soul like Vidura, especially in his dealings with the beloved Pandavas, it was almost impossible to disclose an unpalatable piece of news like the annihilation of the Yadu dynasty. Therefore, he purposefully refrained from it. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Midatam Dena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Katah Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakanvitamscha Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Shri Shri Navadvipa Parapradipa Sandipyamana Satato Bhuviya Chetastamo Hanti Hiyasya Yatnat Tamkirtayama Prabhupada Devam. It's in the last part of your blue book, under the second Meyer Lemon Yellow tab, page number 2. Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Projotita Shri Vyasadya Kosham Kushalam Kripalu Sanmlecha Vagdesha Chayeda Dadyas Tam Kirtayama Prabhupada Devam Achadyate Yat Para Tarka Drishya Govinda Murt Yujwala Bhaskarena Advaiti Kadyota Kulam Jagatyam Tam Kirtayama Prabhupada Devam Yes Yaiva Yatnina Purana Raja Gangamala Keshava Keli Hamsa Satstotra Ratna Vahihaloke Tam Kirtayama Prabhupada Devam Shri Radhika Krishna Padara Vinde Sahasra Hritsu Shatamandareshu Aropayad Yo Madure Prativyam Tam Kirtayama Prabhupada Devam Koshaladair Yasya Sahasra Shastra Shastra Tivarshai Pratiyantayatehi Chandakaler Moha Chamur Hatena Tamkirtayama Prabhupada Devam Nana Lasad Gora Sudha Prakasha Palashitao Stapita Eva Yena Krishnanu Chinta Jana Sangha Vrikshas Tamkirtayama Prabhupada Devam Yo Nityada Jivati Daivikeshu Nijasu Shikshasu Tu Sanugami Kripambudir Nanda Shuta Shritatma Tamkirtayama Prabhupada Devam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamine Sri Varshabana Videvi Daitaya Kripadaye Krishna Sambandha Vigyana Dayane Prabhave Namaha Nadhuryo Jvala Premadya Sri Rupanuga Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Sri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dvantaharine Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambara Sambode Padambu Chayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sakchidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gaura Virbhava Bhomestvam Nirdesa Sajanapriya Vaishnava Sarva Bhoma Shri Jagannathayate Namaha Vancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gora Tvishe Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatam Surato Pangor Mama Manda Matirgati Matsarva Swapadambojo Radha Manana Mohano Divya Vrindaranya Kalpa Trumadha Srimad Ratnankara Singhasanasta Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Devo Prishtalibhi Sevya Manu Smarami Srimad Rashar Saramvi Pamshivata Tatastitaha Karshan Venu Swanir Gopir Gopinata Shriyestunaha Takanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindai Tulsi Devyai Priyai Keshavasya Vishnu Bhakti Prade Devi Satyavachai Namo Namaha Sri Nasinga Jai Nasinga Jai Jai Narasingha Pralada Desha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa Matsamo Nasti Papatma Naparari Chakashana Parihare Pilajami Kimruve Purushottama Ivatinam Yata Yuni Yunam Chau Yavutau Yata Mano Biramate Tadvan Mano Mira Matantayi Bhumau Skalita Paranam Bhumireva Valambanam Tvayi Jata Paranam Tvameva Sharanam Brabo Govinda Balabe Radhe Prate Tvamaham Sada Tvadiyam Iti Janatu Govindo Mam Tvaya Saha Radhe Vrindavanadishe Karunamrita Vahni Kripaya Nijapadabja Dasyam Mayam Pratiyatam Hanta Prajastrinam Padarenam Abhikshnasa Yasam Harigato Gitam Punati Bhuvanatrayam Namasreshtam manamapi sachiputram matrasarupam shi rupam tasya gajam aruparim maturim goshtavatim radha kundam girivaramoho radhika madhavasham prapto yasya pratita kripaya shri gurum tam natosmi adhatana stridam danter idam jache puna puna shimandrupa padam bojao rajoham syam bhave bhave hantaya madhya abala haridasavaryo yadrama krishna chanana svarasha pramoda manam tanoti sahago ganayostayo yat paniya suyavasakannana kannamulai jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Nanva Priyam Durvishaham Nrinam Swayam Upastitam Navedhayat Sakaruno Dukitan drashtim akshamaha. Compassionate Mahatma Vidura could not stand to see the Pandavas distressed at any time. Therefore, he did not disclose this unpalatable and unbearable incident because calamities come of their own accord. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, distress comes upon us in its own way by the laws of nature. So no one should aggravate it by propaganda. And Narada Muni tells his disciple Srila Vyasadeva that whatever good or bad we get in this life is coming about because of our past activities, and it comes of its own accord. And therefore, one shouldn't endeavor to get more happiness or to decrease distress because they're already fixed up. Rather, one should try very hard to come to spiritual consciousness. We should endeavor on that side to cultivate spiritual consciousness. Tasyaiva heta prayate ta kovino na labhyate yad brahmatam upariyada ta labhyate dukavaranyata sukham Kalena sarvatra gabhira ramasa kalatra. In course of time, these things come of their own accord. They don't. You don't have to. If you don't look for happiness, it'll come to you. You get a phone call or a letter, or someone will come and say, "Hey, I've got some good news for you." And similarly, as hard as you may try, someone will come and you'll get a phone call or a letter, or someone will come to you and say, "Hey, guess what? I got some bad news for you." And will come automatically of its own accord. It's not something that you can prevent. You can stop the mail and you can turn off your phone, which is not a bad idea. But, well, actually it is. But the bad news will still get to you some way or another. I've had a policy for some years that generally I don't look at the news at all, because I know that there's a way that it finds me, the stuff I need to know about. Just someone will come and say, "Hey, guess what? Japan just got hit by a tsunami," or something like that. I don't have to look at the headlines, but anything that reaches a certain threshold, I'll hear about it. It reaches me somehow. And good news also, people tend to broadcast that when something good happens. So we find out about these things personally, and we find out about it for other people as well. Good and bad kinds of things come about naturally. And a devotee is particularly focused on cultivating a particular atmosphere for himself or herself and for others around him or herself that will be conducive to focusing on Krishna, to filling one's mind with Krishna. In the same instructions that I mentioned Narada gave to Vyasadeva, Narada also told Vyasadeva that whatever you desire to describe that is different, which is separate in vision from the Lord, will simply react with different forms, names, and results to agitate the mind the way a boat on water is agitated when it has no resting place. It gets blown here and there. And therefore, there is a particular, the particular objective of a devotee is to focus his mind on Krishna by hearing transcendental sound and by assisting others in hearing transcendental sound. Because the devotee knows that this is the panacea. Please grab a dictionary and look up panacea. Does everyone know what panacea means? Cure for all diseases. A cure for what ails you. He'll look up the definition and read it aloud. Krishna Katha is the panacea. When we hear about Krishna, then there's a particular result, and that is that the heart becomes purified of unwanted things. Dunoti. This word, dunoti, which is in the verse, Srinvatam Swakata Krishna, which you all know, right? So this is a very important verse, and it describes, it is in a series of verses which are quoted by Srila Prabhupada many times, or quoted by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, by Jiva Goswami, in the very beginning of Divinity in a Divine Service, which is chapter 2 of the first canto. And there's a progressive path of devotional service by which one becomes purified of all unwanted things within the heart, and then comes to know scientifically of the personality of Godhead, becomes enlivened, and becomes fully attracted to Krishna. Can anyone attain that? Can anyone, is it open to everyone? Yes. Anyone can attain that. And it is by the panacea, taking the panacea, which means?
A remedy for all diseases.
A relief from all diseases?
Yep. Evils or difficulties.
Ooh. Okay, read it again.
A remedy for all diseases, evils, or difficulties.
Cure, we got all. It. We found it. We should go out and tell people about this. We have the panacea. It's Krishna Katha. If you hear the transcendental sound vibration, then you get released from all evils, all distresses, all difficulties in life are cured. So this is the panacea, the hearing Krishna Katha. And dunoti, this word dunoti means that Krishna has the power to destroy all the obstacles and all the anartas within the heart. Dunoti sarvam, hridi sannivishta. He has entered within the heart of the devotee, and he has his club, he has his chakra, he has a lotus flower, he has a conch. Two are weapons, two are benedictory. And with those, he benedicts the devotee, and he also destroys all the evil things. And he's present within the sound vibration. Srinvatam swa kata krishna punya shravana kirtana hrityantak stoha bhadrani vidhunoti. Vidhunoti, this word vidhunoti means he destroys, he winnows out all the bad things and keeps all the good things. He carries what you lack and preserves what you have. If you just fill your mind with Krishna through Krishna kata and hearing about Krishna, then all these things will happen naturally. On the other hand, by hearing mundane sound vibration, there will be a different result. And what is that result? Anyad evahur sambhavad, anyad ahur sambhavad, iti shushumadhiranam yenas tadvichachchade. There's definitely a different result. By hearing transcendental sound, one gets one result, says Ishapanishad. By hearing material sound, one gets a completely different result. And all this was heard from the undisturbed authorities who clearly explained it. And the key here is the word dhira, that those who dedicate their life to sacrifice for Krishna, especially through hearing, they become dhira. And dhira means undisturbed. Undisturbed by the movements of the mind and the material nature. And those who hear material sound and become accustomed to it, they become adhira, which is the opposite. They're disturbed by everything, and they get constantly moved around by the modes of material nature, whereas the person who has taken to the path of Krishna consciousness does not. So in this verse, it's a very touching verse. We hear how devotees deal amongst themselves. A pure devotee like Vidura is eager to see that the Pandavas are happy. He doesn't want them to hear sound vibration that will cause them unnecessary distress, because he knows that that kind of vibration, broadcasting this kind of horrible news, will come to them automatically, that they will hear it at some point by the course of nature, and therefore he's not eager to tell them about it and broadcast it in such a way that it will simply agitate their mind. I know something you don't know. I know some bad news about somebody, someplace, somewhere, that I broadcast. Why talk about it? Why bring it out? Why criticize others when naturally, if someone has some kind of fault that's consequential, it will come out in due course of time. It will be broadcast. Everyone will come to know about it. Krishna will make it available. In fact, everything about us, we should consider our lives in this way, that if you're being watched, for instance, by a hidden camera, would you be willing to do whatever you're doing throughout the day? If it was being broadcast, if you lived in a glass house and everyone could see what you're doing, would you be doing the activities that you're doing? And if you're trying to hide something that is detrimental and you keep it, eventually it comes out in due course of time. One way or another, it will come out. So the devotee should be honest and sincere. And also, if there are faults in others, why augment them or bring them out in such a way that simply to destroy the reputation of another unnecessarily? And if there's bad news, as there is here, that Vidura has, he keeps it. He doesn't bring it out in this assembly unnecessarily because he doesn't want to disturb their minds. He doesn't want to see them suffer by hearing such news. So devotees are sensitive, and they're careful about how they talk to people and what kind of information they give to them, because they see that every soul is in a delicate situation. Their mind can be changed or turned in a certain way by hearing a kind of sound vibration. We see in the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra how after Dasarath decided to appoint his son as the regent to the throne, then Mantra became envious. And she went and spoke to Kaikeyi and told her that, why shouldn't your son Bharat be installed on the throne instead? And at first, she didn't think that was even a plausible idea. She had no idea why Mantra was saying it, but over and over again, Mantra gave her envious ideas into the ear of Kaikeyi, and gradually her heart changed, and disastrously so. Then she demanded two boons from her husband, and the whole story unfolded, Ram being banished to the forest, and so many bad things happened because of that vibration coming from Mantra. So a person's heart and mind are delicate. The soul, hearing certain kinds of news or vibrations, is affected in a certain way. And those who are aware of the fact that human life is very valuable, that we can die at any moment, that the mind must be fixed on Krishna, feel a responsibility not only in their own lives, to surround themselves with the positive vibration of Krishna Katha. They feel responsibility to Krishna, who has said, fix your mind upon me. They feel a responsibility to their spiritual master, whom they're following, and they've given a vow to restrict themselves to this kind of Katha. And that mood generates outward, that they feel chaste. In other words, this is what is called in the Srimad Bhagavatam being chaste, that we don't allow the senses to just run around and do anything, the ear to go out and hear any old thing, because the effect will be there. Whatever comes in will accumulate, and it will have an effect on the heart, and it will have an effect on the mind, and therefore the devotee is chaste, keeps chaste senses, a chaste mind, only lets the mind consort with Krishna and Krishna Katha and topics about Krishna, restricts it, restricts the senses, doesn't just go eat anything, because there's a transference of mood and feeling that comes through the food. This is a very subtle thing. Sometimes people ask, how is that possible? But the living entity is very subtle. How we come in contact with the elements that are charged with other people's karma is a very subtle thing, which takes eyes of knowledge to see. Jnana Chakshusha, Krishna says, even it's hard for some people who are not in knowledge to see how a person changes from one body to the next body and why they're going to the next body. People with eyes of vision can see that a person's getting their next body due to a subtle cause. It's because of the state of their mind at the time of death, because of what's in there in a very subtle level. And there are many different kinds of desires and that are on a subtle level, and sinful reactions also that come as a result of what we think and what we do and so on and so forth, that are lined up in a series, just like seeds. There's seeds and there's sprouting, there's sprouts, and then there's plants, and then there's fruits that come from the plant. And even before the seed stage, there's the subtle stage before something even forms into a seed, which comes as a kind of a predilection that something bad might happen. This is mentioned in the Shastra. And all these things happen on a subtle level. A devotee who's chaste in hearing transcendental sound vibrations develops a refined sense of how powerful the environment is, how powerful it is, and what effect eating has on me. Therefore, eating Krishna prasadam, taking those things which are offered to Krishna, restricting the tongue. This is the real austerity of the tongue. Just taking Krishna prasadam, and then the tongue, although the tongue wants to say all kinds of nonsense at all times, the tongue wants to sing old songs, and the tongue wants to broadcast bad news. Hey, did you hear what? Any old thing could come out of the tongue. But a devotee controls the tongue and keeps it chaste to speaking topics about Krishna and speaking truthfully, beneficially, avoiding speech which offends. These are mentioned by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita as the austerities of speech. And when someone practices this in their own life, then they become aware, more aware in their environment around them of all the different aberrations in speech and eating and everything else that's going on that's harmful. And the devotee becomes concerned about it, actually very concerned. Prahlad Maharaj says, Naivod Vijay Paraduratyaya Vaitaranyas. He talks about how people have fallen into this horrible ocean of sin, of nasty things, and that they're suffering, and he desires to relieve them of that. He wants Naivod Vijay Paraduratyaya Vaitaranyas Tvadvirya. Okay, we'll have to look it up. Naivod Vijay Paraduratyaya Vaitaranyas. You can look up that verse. He wants to save the poor conditioned souls from this condition. So this is the sentiment of a devotee. And so in all circumstances, when the devotee is speaking to someone else, he or she is conscious, what effect am I having? Is it an effect that will help this person become Krishna conscious, or is it to their detriment? Will it simply agitate their mind? Naivod Vijay Paraturya. 240 in your beautiful... I have 240. Thank you. 240. Naivod Vijay Paraduratyaya Vaitaranyas Tvadvirya Gayana Mahamrita Magna Chittaha Shocheta To Vimukha Cheta Se Indriyarta Maya Sukhaya Paramudvaha To Vimudhan. O best of the great personalities, Prahlad Maharaj says to Lord Nrsingadev, I am not at all afraid of material existence, for wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I am simply concerned with love for them. And that's the concern of a devotee. He's merciful to himself by being chaste to the transcendental sound vibration, and he is merciful to others, knowing what effect this material energy has on the soul, and therefore he tries to alleviate their suffering. And in a circle of devotees also, the devotee is careful to be of service in all circumstances to the devotees. There's a story about, in instances, for instance, there are protocols when one's sitting before a superior, even if he or she knows some, has some great realization or can explain something in elaborate detail, the devotee would be reticent to speak before a superior Vaishnava and sort of display how much knowledge or realization one has, unless it's explicitly, you know, brought out by that superior person or Vaishnava. There's a sense of etiquette there amongst devotees to be careful to speak, you know, in such a way that of showing one's knowledge or something like that. The point is that the motivation, even if I know something, should be to benefit others, not just to show, look, I know everything. That kind of motivation that comes out in one's speech is noticed by refined Vaishnavas. It's odious. It's like if someone ate a couple of bulbs of garlic and came and sat here, then we would smell it, you know, and it was like, ah, someone ate a lot of garlic. And that kind of ill motivation that I want to show my learning, even it's Shastra, somebody's speaking, but if it's going from that motivation, it comes out as kind of stinky in a way. Everyone's like, eh. So what comes out is an emanation from the heart. And devotees like Vidura, who are pure devotees, when they're in the association of devotees or anyone else, they're very conscious of what the effect they're having on others is. And they're very careful. So it is the preoccupation of devotees to help themselves and to help others. And they're very sensitive not to damage the faith of others. This is a particular qualification of a devotee. Devotees promote faith. They promote faith in others. They want to see that others become more faithful. And it's a delicate thing. Faith within the heart of a devotee is a delicate thing, and it can be disturbed, actually, especially in beginning devotees. And so advanced devotees are very careful about what they say and who they say it to when they talk about other devotees or about situations. They don't, as Prabhupada says here, they don't aggravate through propaganda unnecessarily. This kind of aggravation through propaganda is reminiscent of Ashwatthama, who we heard about earlier in the Bhagavatam. Ashwatthama was desperate, and when he was running away from Arjuna, he knew he couldn't get away from Arjuna, therefore he threw a bomb that he couldn't take back. It would destroy many people, but indiscriminately, out of irresponsibility, he threw the bomb, even though it was not retractable, and even though it would kill all kinds of innocent people, he threw it anyway. And this is the sense we get here from this aggravation through propaganda. I don't care who it hits. I don't care who it hurts. I feel that I should propagandize in such a way to aggravate people's minds. This is not Vaishnavic. Vaishnavas are very careful about what they say and who they say it to. And they speak for specific purposes in order to increase the faith in the hearts of others. That is their purpose. To increase the faith in the hearts of others, and they under no circumstances at all will damage the faith of another. When they see that it's incubating, that there's faith in Vaishnavas, there's faith in Guru, there's faith in Krishna, there's faith in the holy name, devotees will protect that in themselves and in others, and under no circumstances will they damage it. That is one of the very particular qualifications of an advanced devotee, is to nurture this kind of faith. So these are some of the sense we can get by entering into this conversation between Vidura and his relatives, the Pandavas, and how sensitive and how nuanced are the discussions between devotees, that they're so careful to nurture the faith in others and to not damage others' minds or hearts unnecessarily. So this is the environment that actually brings up the bhakti creeper. This is the most important aspect of our Krishna consciousness movement, is to create an atmosphere wherever we are. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter if you live in the forest or in a home. That's inconsequential. Grihe tako, vani tako, shadahari boli tako. One has to do shadahari boli tako. That means to talk about Krishna. And that the atmosphere should be conducive. That is that we are creating an atmosphere in which devotees' faith is encouraged, that they want to advance in devotional service, and that it's safe. There's no aggravation by propaganda in such an environment. And that becomes the duty of the leaders of the household, that becomes the duty of the leaders of a community in all circumstances, to make sure that there's an environment, a safe environment, in which devotees can hear and chant and cultivate their faith according to Shastra and according to the Parampara system. And then you have actual progressive life. And that's what we see here, this kind of mood in Mahatma Vidura, whom we are endeavoring, in whose footsteps we are endeavoring to follow. Hare Krishna. Om Tat Sat. Now, any reflections? Yes, a question. Dikshit Prabhu. Okay, quadrant two micro. Let's get the quadrant straight. Can you have three quadrants? It's not possible, is it? Quadrant means four, so. But I don't want to say trident. Okay, go ahead.
When someone is sitting with you, or you are sitting with someone, and then somehow they start criticizing another devotee. So how should you? I mean, the best thing is to run away. You want to run away, but what's the most polite way to run away? So one thing, if you say that I don't like it, then that person may think that you're that other person's friend and all the politics.
Okay.
So you want to run away.
I'll teach you a trick. Everyone has a cell phone these days, right? And you can put it on vibrate so no one knows if your phone rang or not. So if you're in a situation where you think you're going to need to get out, so just grab your pocket, like my cell phone, pull it out, and run out of the room as fast as you can. People do it here all the time. I see in class all of a sudden somebody's sitting there running out of the room, and I go, cell phone, you know. And so if you're sitting with somebody who's like, okay, sorry, gotta go, and just go and get out of there fast. It's a burning house. You hear these burning words, you know, and go. Just be out of there as quickly as you can. Did it help? Practical.
Because what happens with me is that someone speaks with like this, you know. You know what? Then I will say, I don't know. So that person will like, oh, that's not good. So in a sense, like,
well, if you see it coming also, if you know this person is prone to, you know, spilling out any old thing, and that they're sort of innocent, they say, you know what? Then you say, yeah, I know Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he plays a flute, and he has 64 qualities. You want to hear about him? You know, fill it in. And if it's somebody who's really determined, who's actually what we're doing, what we heard here, aggravating through propaganda, then, you know, there's no, you shouldn't deal with such a person. If somebody's envious and they're trying to actually disturb your mind, then there's no need to deal. Shastra says you should avoid. So use avoidance techniques and adopt avoidance techniques. You know, same thing when things come from our mind that are disturbing to our faith and to our concentration, we should use avoidance techniques. The mind comes and says, you know, blah, 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 blah. And we will avoid that. You know, we'll say, yeah, but listen, Krishna has this quality, and you fill it in another way. You anticipate, because your mind can be your best friend or worst enemy too. It's not just somebody who walks up to you and says, "Hey, listen to this." Your mind can be the, you know, come with, "Hey, you want to hear this?" And no, I'm not listening to you today. I'm listening to something else. I have a lecture to listen to. So we should fill in all our space and time with Krishna conscious activities, and then use avoidance techniques when the other things come. Unless there's an opportunity that you know that you can rectify the situation by setting it right. That's what Shastra says. Unless you can defeat the person by proper argument, logic and argument, you can defeat the person, then you stand and do that. And you may be in a situation where you can't grab your cell phone and run out. If you're preaching or in a situation, somebody brings up something, then you also have to become expert in how to bring the topic back to Krishna. Are we going to have a situation like last year where some people think today is Janmashtami or Monday is Janmashtami? Have we calculated for that? Do you remember last year a lot of people came like either the day before or the day after? They are? Really? I see. We're the only ones on Sunday?
I mean, every year it happens.
Oh. We should have some plan then for Monday. Could have. Well, Monday is Prabhupada's appearance day. And by the end of that, the devotees are ready to curl up and go to sleep, not start another Janmashtami. We'll have to think of something. We do have Yashoda Kumar and Navina's new suites that are very attractive. We have some of those we can pass out. I have some in the back of my car. They're making these individually wrapped, beautiful, homemade suites to give to people when they come, and they're creating a little box, like a smart box for books, only a smart box for prasadam. How about that? That's the newest thing. Smart box for prasadam. We'll set that up. Yeah, more reflections. Yes, Rakshit Prabhu.
I had one as you were reading the purport and explaining it. It seems that this purport very aptly brings out the difference between what is going on in the material world and what is happening in spiritual settings such as this. Here people are engaged in Krishna Katha and are listening to the sound vibration. But when you listen to the vibration out there, just open television or read a newspaper, you see that they are aggravating by propaganda. For instance, right now, just as an example, I don't want to dwell too much in it, but this criticism about how badly the economy has performed and attacking Obama, who is the current president, for all the faults, everything that has happened, he's responsible. And all these Republican candidates who are lining up right now are attacking him, the chair of the Federal Reserve, everyone, with the vicious type of criticism that you will see. They are taking advantage of some situation, as this verse said, has occurred just out of a natural circumstance. It may not be the person, that is the president or the chair of the Federal Reserve, responsible for it, but they are taking advantage to attack them personally for their own ambitious gain. But the thing about it is, one thing that came out of the discussion is that those who are engaging in this themselves are adhira, as you said. They themselves are not steady. Means they may criticize, but how steady are they? Somebody else will come along and attack them later on. Whereas those who are engaged in spiritual consciousness avoid this type of talk, and they are becoming calm and steady. So it's very nicely pointing out the distinction between what is going on in the material world, what is going on in settings like this, and one has the choice to choose where one wants to be.
Thank you very much. Well put.
Sounds like you're putting yes. A speech to me.
Yes. Another question or point? Hare Krishna. Okay. Another point. Use the microphone.
I think you should not encourage these kind of talks in this kind of setting.
It was an example. It was an example showing that there's a polarized situation, and it doesn't. It's not a matter of which side is right or wrong. The point is the example. We are engaged in a conversation about Krishna Katha, and we're not.
As long as you continue with that, that's fine.
Yeah, we'll continue as we like. Thank you for your advice. We will continue as we like. Yes, thank you. Go ahead.
I have a question. Distress comes upon us in its own way, the law of nature. So that is one kind of distress, but we have other tools, like which is created by men. So it does not come automatically. There are three different kinds of distress, miseries, as we know.
Adiatmic, adibhotic, adidaivic miseries.
Right.
So some miseries come from the devas. Some miseries are coming from our own body and mind, and others come from other living entities. Right. So what's your question?
Yeah, the question is, out of these miseries, the ones which come by law of nature by itself, is no one is accountable for it, but if the distress is caused by somebody, so there is an accountability. How do you account those?
This we were about to touch on in the story of the Dharma, the bull, which is in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in which Parikshit Maharaj, the great king, who is in charge of watching out for the citizens, comes to the bull, Dharma, who's being beaten by Kali. And in this situation, he asks Kali, who is the perpetrator? Who has done this to you? And the answer here is very important. Because Dharma the bull does not name a perpetrator, a particular person, because he sees it as the coming from eternal time, from the actual result of one's own involvement in the material world, that there is no individual who's actually anyone who is giving us pain in a very particular way. Is an agent of our own karma. In other words, eternal time is simply acting through this particular person. And it's not that we should name the perpetrator, otherwise we become involved. We become implicated when we do that. Let me read you this section. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay. This is from Canto 1, Chapter 16, How Parikshit Received the Age of Kali. The personality of religious principles, Dharma, was wandering about in the form of a bull, and he met the personality of earth in the form of a cow, who appeared to grieve like a mother who had lost her child. She had tears in her eyes, and the beauty of her body was lost. Thus Dharma questioned the earth as follows. Dharma, in the form of a bull, asked, Madam, are you not hale and hearty? Why are you covered with the shadow of grief? It appears by your face that you have become black. Are you suffering from some internal disease, or are you thinking of some relative who is away in a distant place? I have lost my three legs and am now standing on one only. Are you lamenting for my state of existence? Or are you in great anxiety, henceforward the unlawful meat-eaters will exploit you? Or are you in a sorry plight because the demigods are now bereft of their share of sacrificial offerings, because no sacrifices are being performed at present? Or are you grieving for living beings because of their sufferings due to the famine and drought? Are you feeling compunction for the unhappy women and children who are left forlorn by unscrupulous persons? He goes on in this way, asking, what is the problem? And the deity, the earthly deity in the form of a cow, thus replied to the personality of religious principles in the form of a bull. O Dharma, whatever you have inquired from me shall be known to you. I shall try to reply to all those questions. Once you too were maintained by your four legs, and you increased happiness all over the universe by the mercy of the Lord. And then he gives the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and says that that personality of Godhead, the reservoir of all goodness and beauty, Lord Sri Krishna has now closed his transcendental pastimes on the face of the earth, and that the age of Kali has appeared and is influencing everyone. And then she says, I am thinking about myself and also a best among the demigods about you, as well as about all the demigods, sages, denizens of Pitri Loka, devotees of the Lord, and all men obedient to the system of Varna Ashram and society. Then, after reaching that place, Maharishi Parikshit observed a lower class Shudra dressed like a king was beating a cow and a bull with a club as if they had no owner. The bull was as white as the lotus flower. He was terrified of the Shudra who was beating him, and he was so afraid that he was standing on one leg, trembling and urinating. Although the cow is beneficial because one can draw religious principles from her, she was now rendered poor and calfless. Her legs were being beaten by a Shudra. There were tears in her eyes, and she was distressed and weak. She was hankering after some grass in the field. Maharishi Parikshit, well equipped with arrows and bow and seated on a gold embossed chariot, spoke to him, the Shudra, with a deep voice sounding like thunder. Then he questions the bull. O son of Surabhi, who has cut off your three legs? In the state of the kings who are obedient to the laws of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, there is no one as unhappy as you. O bull, you are offenseless and thoroughly honest, therefore I wish all good to you. Please tell me of the perpetrator of these mutilations, which blackmail the reputation of the sons of Pritha. So he's asking for the perpetrator. So this goes to your question. Whoever causes offenseless living entities to suffer must fear me anywhere and everywhere in the world. By curbing dishonest miscreants, one automatically benefits the offenseless. An upstart living being who commits offenses by torturing those who are offenseless shall be directly uprooted by me, even though he be a denizen of heaven with armor and decorations. The supreme duty of the ruling king is to give all protection to law-abiding persons and to chastise those who stray from the ordinances of the scripture in ordinary times when there is no emergency. The personality of religion said, these words just spoken by you befit a person of the Pandava dynasty. Captivated by the devotional qualities of the Pandavas, even Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, performed duties as a messenger. O greatest among human beings, it is very difficult to ascertain the particular miscreant who has caused our sufferings, because we are bewildered by all the different opinions of theoretical philosophers. Some of the philosophers who deny all sorts of duality declare that one's own self is responsible for his personal happiness and distress. Others say that superhuman powers are responsible, while others say that the activity is responsible, and the gross materialists maintain that nature is the ultimate cause. There are also some thinkers who believe that no one can ascertain the cause of distress by argumentation, nor how it by imagination, nor know it by imagination, nor express it by words. O sage amongst the kings, judge for yourself by thinking over all this with your intelligence. Suta Goswami said, O best among the Brahmins, the Emperor Prikshit, thus hearing the personality of religion speak, was fully satisfied, and without mistake or regret, he gave this reply. The king said, O you who are in the form of a bull, you know the truth of religion, and you are speaking according to the principle that the destination intended for the perpetrator of irreligious acts is also intended for one who identifies the perpetrator. You are no other than the personality of religion. Purport. A devotee's conclusion is that no one is directly responsible for being a benefactor or a mischief monger without the sanction of the Lord. Therefore, he does not consider anyone to be directly responsible for such action. But in both the cases, he takes it for granted that either benefit or loss is God sent, and thus it is his grace. In case of benefit, no one will deny that it is God sent. But in the case of loss or reverses, one becomes doubtful about how the Lord could be so unkind to his devotee as to put him into great difficulty. Jesus Christ was seemingly put into such great difficulty being crucified by the ignorant, but he was never angry at the mischief mongers. This is the way of accepting a thing, either favorable or unfavorable. Thus, for a devotee, the identifier is equally a sinner. Like the mischief monger, by God's grace, the devotee tolerates all reverses. Maharaj Prikshit observed this, and therefore he could understand that the bull was no other than the personality of religion himself. If, in other words, a devotee has no suffering at all because so-called suffering is also God's grace for a devotee who sees God in everything. The cow and bull never placed any complaint before the king for being tortured by the personality of Kali, although everyone lodges such complaints before the state authorities. The extraordinary behavior of the bull made the king conclude that the bull was certainly the personality of religion, for no one else could understand the finer intricacies of the codes of religion. So you asked about the perpetrator and how we identify, you know, who did it, according to whether it's a person or a demigod or someone else. And the answer is that if we become involved in trying to identify the person and place blame in that way, personally, we become implicated with the perpetration. We become involved with that, with the karma. Whereas the devotee sees that that's an agent of his own karma, and he accepts it as ultimately as the Lord's mercy upon him. And Prabhupada says here, it's easy to accept it when it's a reward. Say, oh, I deserved it. God gave me this. But when it's a punishment, the devotee, who is very advanced, also sees this is Krishna's arrangement. He's acting through this agent to improve me in some way.
Then, so, in the battlefield, then why didn't Pandavas take it as their own karma or as an agent which they're... The wrongdoings of Duryodhana.
Well, ultimately they did. Because although Arjuna in the beginning was identifying with the situation from a bodily perspective of life, he very specifically took shelter of Krishna, and Krishna divested him of that misunderstanding and told him that these things come of their own accord. He spoke this in the Bhagavad Gita. He said, loss, gain, victory, or defeat... whether you know they come to the they come unsought, and you have to be equipoised and do your duty in this sense. So Arjuna ultimately wasn't fighting out of some sort of sense of revenge or identifying Duryodhana, but he was doing it by Krishna's instruction to uphold dharma, the principle of dharma. Yes.
Reading this purport, I could understand that Srila Prabhupada is really telling the correct thing and practical thing, that we don't have to say a few things which really bring distress to people. But my question is, like, due to immaturity, we already did few things which really brought distress to people. So now what we can do? Are there any suggestion to rectify which we have given distress to? people.
Yes. When we offend somebody by our words, then we also go and use our words to undo that deed. And if we offend somebody bodily, we go do it, try to undo it through bodily. Because when we move in this world, it's practically inevitable that we'll make some mistake. And therefore, there are all kinds of ways to rectify those things. Here's an example. If you're walking through a group of devotees and you bump into a devotee, what do devotees normally do? They go like this. Like, it's a gesture. Like, I'm sorry, I bumped into you. It's not a big deal, really, in normal course of things. But the devotee is very sensitive, and therefore, I'm sorry, they don't want to leave behind them any offense. So if you make some kind of mistake, then you can rectify by saying, I'm sorry, I take it back. I've seen before where there are dealings between devotees where it was very tense due to the circumstances, and then some bad feeling came out, and there was friction. And then maybe even years later, the person thought about it, and they thought, I did wrong. And they feel they want to rectify the situation, so they write a letter. And they say, back in such and such time, I acted like this, I said this thing, I acted towards you like this, I'm very sorry, I didn't mean it. And you send the letter. So we should be careful to try to undo these kinds of things, to make sure that we don't leave something behind us like that. Okay? Yes.
Now, Prabhu, initially in the class you told, talking about the bomb, I came to mind, it came to mind 35 years before in India. So the Pakistan attacked in Dwarka. They threw a big bomb to the center of the city, but it didn't blow off.
Uh-huh.
So it's because Krishna is present there. So this means wherever the praising of Krishna is going on, all the aggravation or whatever, it won't affect anything. So it came to my mind they tried twice, and twice it happened. The bomb didn't blow off. So,
well, everything in this world ultimately there has to be some sanction, behind it. I mean, many temples were broken when the Mughal invaders came, and temples were broken here and there, and horrible things happened. And that's why it's very important to take shelter of this chapter. I mean, the horrible things happening in this chapter where Dharma is being beaten by an ignorant person. And if you think about what's being perpetrated now in so many places, cows being killed wholesale, and even in India, and all these kinds of things. And there are, it's not that just, that bombs don't go off and things don't happen, although that's, there's a feeling of victory when that does happen, and we kind of laugh. But right after the bomb doesn't go off, you can expect it'll come in another way, right? You think, material nature, endlessly, there's always something that's going to come at us. We should expect that, and that we should have an attitude, a steady attitude of always taking shelter of Krishna and seeing that somehow or other Krishna's hand's behind it. Although very difficult to see. Even great philosophers, everyone's speculating, trying to see it. And here we have Dharma coming down to this mood, tatenu kampam susamikshamanu. Okay, it's between me and Krishna, and I'll take it like that. Where else can you take shelter, right? One last, this will be the last point.
Prabhuji, you mentioned a couple of things. Devotees try to promote faith.
Yes.
And then you also mentioned it's a very sensitive matter.
Yes.
I think they are very excellent points because I have been doing this unintentionally. I did not realize it. But it's also a very sensitive matter I have a couple of close friends at work who are forced bachelors at the moment, like me. So I have been trying to tell them, we should be fortunate to have prasadam at the temple, and come and join me and everything. But, they have some sort of this, ego feeling that, I don't want to eat for free, kind of thing. But then I have been trying to tell them, okay, then, you know, we can generously donate at the temple. Because of the generous donations only, you know, they're able to serve this big prasadam. So then they started saying, oh, well, I'm not as rich as you. So, you know, so it went into a different conversation. So I was trying to, you know, back out. But I think the point I'm trying to make is it's also a very sensitive matter. But at the same time, you know, unintentionally, I was trying to promote the faith in them that. So I think I was successful in some situations, but in this particular thing, I was not able to really convince them, promote the faith. So that was just a reflection, but that was an excellent point that I have realized it now after hearing this lecture.
That it's, promoting faith in others, it's a real art, isn't it? How to fan the spark in others is a real art. Because I've seen, it requires advanced devotees in order to be able to give Krishna consciousness to others. And that's why it says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that someone who's successful at spreading Krishna consciousness to others is empowered. And I've seen, like, for instance, I've seen new devotees who become very interested in doing some activity to spread Krishna consciousness, like book distribution. And, strong desire, but then how to implement it, how to actually get people to take it, what's the mood, how they'll take it and how they'll accept it and so forth, takes a little practice and some realization and so forth. Not everyone can just do it automatically. It's not like a sales thing, you know. It has to do with seeing where people heart are and how to connect with them. And so it is a great art, the spreading Krishna consciousness. What do you have there, Damodar Prabhu? He's got something up his sleeve. Is it something you can show now, or is it offered already, or what?
Yeah, it is.
What is this?
It's Dimitri Prabhu's creation.
Oh, let's see.
Prabhu, yesterday they are awake still 1 a.m. in the morning.
Wow. Hari Hari Bo. Hare Krishna. Wow. And this is the flyer that Mayapur is holding over here? Anandavardhana. ISV New Temple Project. Get mercy. Kindly help by donating to build new temple for Sri Sri Radha Krishna. And it has a letter on the back. Oh, this is beautiful. Thank you very much.
Some flyer like this that we have been waiting for.
Yeah. This is the initial flyer. From what I understand from Jagarini, this flyer is starting, and then there's another artist who's also working on all kinds of... Yeah. So it looks like the parade has started, right?
Yeah.
Very nice. Thank you. Very, very good news. We've been here... hearing and chanting since 7:30 a.m. and still we're not satiated. We could go on. So tomorrow we'll continue. We could start early at 4:30 a.m. and we'll go on all day and nobody can stop us. And we've heard from Srimad Bhagavatam. We chanted a little bit and had discussions here. And now we're going to have a Guru Puja. And then right after that there's prasadam and there's lots of service and duties. Whoever wants service can have it by Krishna's arrangement. So let's put all the books and asanas away and we'll worship Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Prema Nande Haribo.